for Bigfoot ain't one.
No. What do your neighbors think about you practicing the owl?
Oh, there you go.
That's a good question.
No, the other animal you guys forgot to talk about is the foxes. We've heard them in Salt Fork. They are the creepiest things to be screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot to remember on these hikes, and we know enough to talk enough.
And when they sometimes start singing, stuff.
Oh, I know. You got your calls had everyone in the back cracking up. And then the other one in the cow.
Yeah, somebody made a cow sound. That was really...
Yeah, we had a chicken.
Yeah, you had a chicken.
I just rolled with it. You're
recording and it's all good right now. So
I'm just glad we didn't get a big chicken coming back at us.
That would really be bad.
Yeah.
At least it's not a big rubber chicken.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
No, we work with...
Somebody in a big...
I hope you edit all this.
Oh, yeah. Well, she will.
No, we have...
I did the editing.
We work with a show called Oddmall. And Con of the Cob there, and the guy who runs those sings this song about the big rubber chicken that lives in the woods.
Oh, man. Well, we should start a posse out.
Yeah.
Look for
that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you said that was recording?
That's recording. Ready to
go. Okay, cool.
So let's give it a couple seconds quiet. So
I'm watching it.
All right.
Actually, I can come around this side and watch it.
Okay.
Hello, Bart.
Hello, Vicky.
And we are actually here with Jesse and Alan.
Yeah.
We actually just got done with our first field trip, and we did a Bigfoot hike.
Yes, at night.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you think?
It was fun. Definitely want to do something like this again.
Yes. I know, I enjoyed myself. Something that we've been talking about for a little while that we wanted to get done, and we actually were able to find time in our schedules to do it.
Yes.
So
again, yeah, we're here with Jesse and Alan from Fathom Frontiers. Hi.
And so how long have you guys, been doing this and been interested in Grassman?
Yeah, we're on about, I think, getting close to year 10, 9 or 10
creeping up on doing this.
Yeah, we showed up at a Bigfoot conference 9 years ago and never left, I guess. Right.
Fathom Frontiers was kind of, you know, born out of the idea of not being, you know, or being willing to just kind of explore the edge of the unknown, so, the deep unknown, so that's kind of where that came from.
Yeah, we look into all different kinds of things, you know, paranormal stuff and UFO watching and all that good stuff, but we definitely end up spending most of our time with Bigfoot stuff because everybody kind of knows us for that, so.
Yeah.
So we did this hike here in Mohican tonight and had a massive turnout.
We're close to 500 people.
500 people almost between the two hikes. So I think we got everyone out of the woods.
Yeah, when we got here, we was like, oh, there's not going to be a whole lot of people here. You know, and even getting here at 8:30, and it was like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's really surprised the park system. We did some, they did some advertising on Facebook, and when we saw some of the responses on there, we're like, oh man, this is going to blow up. They're 800 some shares right on the post, like, oh man, this is going to be bad.
So yeah, because that's how we actually learned about it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Someone shared it on Facebook, and then I started seeing it shared with other people.
Yeah.
And
we got tagged and tagged each other.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
we've been. Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to say, we've been doing these night hikes now for, probably about 4 years.
Yeah, three or four years. I think we started dabbling the first year and did maybe one or two.
Yeah, we've predominantly done them at Salt Fork State Park. And this is maybe our first or second venture outside of the park. I'm not 100% sure. But this is easily and by far the most well-attended and the one that got promoted the most. This was incredible.
Yeah.
So, have you seen any Bigfoots or anything that you couldn't figure out what it was, or any unknowns?
I have not. I can say that, I'll speak for myself. I know that I've heard a lot of things out in the woods when Alan and I have been out that is not easily dismissible. We kind of come at it from a skeptical standpoint and try and work through the plausible or what we know exists kind of thing. But we've heard some howls and wood knocks and screams that, aren't readily explainable, at least from, you know, my perspective.
Yeah, we've both had a lot of interesting and unexplainable experiences over the years. And one of the real big things that we've been doing is we actually follow up on investigating reports of people that have seen it. And for me, a lot of those reports have really led me to you know, believe there's something going on out there, because some of these people that you talk to, you just can't dismiss some of the stories, some of the things that have happened are just, you know, they're not the kind of thing you make up. And the emotion that they show is one of the big things for me. You know, someone is looking me in the eye and trying to tell me what they see, I kind of question their motivations. But when someone's kind of looking off into the trees and they're recalling a memory in their mind, and you can just see them playing through this moment in time in their head, it really sinks in for me that they had an experience of some kind.
Have there been any recent sightings in Mohican in this area?
This area's been very active over the last few years, and I think there's a little bit maybe going on now with some reports, but those really haven't been fully investigated yet, so there's not a whole lot we have on information. But
I know the South is a huge hot spot, it seems, and even up by us, there's stuff too.
Yeah, there was, you know, there's... the documentary we did, The Back 80, focuses on a series of sightings from... in the Mohican Valley area from 2013, basically through 2016. And there, in 2017, there's been a rash of sightings, and I don't recall specifically where, but south of Mohican. So whether there was something up there that kind of moved south and then kind of hung around the Mohican Valley area for a couple of years, I don't know. But 2013 specifically, and then for the next year or two, there was... you know, as a friend of ours calls it, a flap, because there were multiple sightings and multiple reportings.
And that seems to happen somewhat regularly. We'll get a whole slew of reports in an area, and that area varies from year to year. Some years are quiet, and this year it happened to be down in southern Ohio, where there's been a whole lot of things that are coming out of there. And I assume that someday in the near future, some of those will come out publicly and what's been happening down there, but... But right now, the landowners and stuff are pretty tight-lipped with just a few investigators. So,
do you think a lot of it has to do with maybe weather? With, you know, certain areas being hotter in certain years than others?
It's possible. It could be, you know, food supply. A family of Bigfoot probably eats a lot and would have to move around a little bit from year to year. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, you know, the greater part of our experience has been kind of exploring and looking at sightings from the Salt Fork region. And, you know, it seems to be that there is a rotation there. I don't know if it's the same Bigfoot or group of Bigfoot, but there, you know, it kind of shifts where the sightings are in the park. There's a lot of, you know, sightings that come out of a certain area in the spring and then a lot in the fall. But something to keep in mind is, you know, there are a lot of, you know, as people, we come out a lot more in the summer than we do in the winter. So, you know, we as humans, if you will, start coming out in the spring, coming out of our home caves, you know, and maybe in the fall trying to, you know, get out and enjoy what's left of good weather. So that can contribute to an increase in sightings, but we definitely think there are some patterns in that area in the fall and the spring for movement and things like that.
Definitely. There's been a lot of things over the last few years. Footprints and all kinds of interesting reports that have come from that area, and it all seems to happen around the same time every year. So
yeah, because I know it seems like the Kaga Valley National Park, it seems a lot of them tend to be more towards August, September, or further south in the park.
Yeah, we've investigated a few reports out there, and we've talked to well, there's one witness in particular that had an incident out there that really was a shocking story. You know, he was on the towpath trail near that Brecksville area. And he heard, him and his friends were back there near the swampy area, and they heard some noises, some thrashing around in the water, and they got a clear view of a very large, furry, upright walking creature coming at them aggressively through the swamp. And he tells quite the story. And I believe him. We've talked to him several times about it, and he's a pretty stand-up guy. He's a friend of ours now.
I think I've heard. I think I've seen that one on the BRFO website.
Yeah,
yeah. Before I started doing this, I looked into a lot of different ones in the area. Because one we went and investigated was a couple. Was it 2011? I think it was about 2011. We went to Mogador Reservoir.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'd seen the report, and it was in August, and this was in December. It was a very, very warm December, and we went and we found a trail of feet that went kind of up around a hill, up a tree, and now. You see my husband, he's 6'4", size, 15, 16 shoe, and he couldn't even do the feet tracks. snakes. Like, wow. he tried to, he couldn't even do it. They were big.
Well, we have, you know, there's not a whole lot of footprints that get found in Ohio. I don't know if it's the clay soil makes it more difficult or something, but when we do, it's usually one print, which is not a whole lot to go on. When you can find a trackway like that and you can get an idea of, you know, the stride and everything, that's such a huge thing for us as investigators.
Well, I was going to say, they were covered in a lot of leaf litter, so you could just barely see it. It was in the same spot that it was in the story.
It's tough to get prints here in Ohio.
And probably sometimes the best times that you're going to get a mud print or something like that is probably in warmer climates, because there's more rain, and if you're that big and that hairy, you're not going to want to be out in the 90-degree weather like we've got today.
Right. Yeah, and you know, that's where a lot of people report this odor when they do see one, and I think a lot of it has to do with that humidity. You know, it's such a large creature, it stinks sometimes in the summer.
Well, that's probably why, what is it, the skunk ape of Florida? That's probably where it gets its smell, too.
Yeah, he's right. Well, and most of the waterways down in Florida are swampy and kind of stinky anyway.
So. Yeah, I think it's like, what, Georgia below, it's all...
Yeah.
It's got a little tang in there.
Got a little tang in there, yeah.
What got you into Bigfoot in general? As you're doing, it seems to be one of the big things that you investigate.
I hope we have enough time for this story.
We were three. No, it wasn't that far back, but it was far back.
When I started out in my diaper, I go to this accent for some reason. I don't know why. Alan, I'll let you go ahead and take off with the story initially. I guess start in New York. And
you want to start there?
Okay.
Well...
Yeah.
It went back to we were kids. He lived next door to me for, you know, what, third grade on, and we used to go in the backyard. There were some woods there and talk about Bigfoot and that stuff. We liked the TV shows that were on at the time and all that kind of stuff. And we always had that interest, but it wasn't until I was visiting my parents that live in the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. And Jess was going to come with me. We were going to spend a week up there. And I was like, looking for some stuff we can do. We'd been dabbling in some paranormal and some other things. So I thought, well, maybe they have Bigfoot sightings up there. And, of course, it didn't take me long to find them.
Lo and behold.
Yeah. And we headed out there to do a hike. And it was a pretty, you know, easy hike, I would say.
It was very easy. One of the things we found was Whitehall, New York, and it has quite a historical, a lot of historic sightings, reporting of sightings, and so Alan did a little bit of research and found a mountain range up there, Tongue Mountain Range, is that correct, right?
Yeah, it's kind of on the other side of the lake from Whitehall.
Yeah, so we do a little bit of research and we find out, hey, there's some trails. We can go hiking up there. We'll pack some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We'll be good.
There was at least three recent sightings from the last year or so right along there, too. That's what kind of led me to it.
Yeah, so he tells me, hey, I've got this great idea, and I just went along with it. And so we start on this hike, and that's where the problems began. It was, first of all, it was like today. Perfectly blue sky day, mm-hmm. but it was about 90 degrees, high humidity. And we said, well, this trail here that goes kind of in the direction of Whitehall up the mountain says it's an advanced trail. And we're like, what's advanced?
And
it
also said beware of the timber rattlesnakes, which we thought, well, what could that really
mean? And we're like, come on, no big deal. So anyway, we start this hike, and we're about, I don't know, not even halfway through. It was 2.9 miles. It said, yeah. We're like, what's 3 miles?
That's nothing. We can do that.
And so we're going up this thing, and we're about halfway up, and let's just say we pretty much had ran out of water already, and we already ate lunch, and we're like, this isn't going so well. And it's probably like 3 in the afternoon at that point already, because we started late, and...
It was about at that point we heard sounded like a wood knock.
Oh,
yes. We both
yes.
kind of froze, and it came from behind me, so I want to be an investigator, so I turned around and started to head towards the wood knock, and I heard it again, and it came from really close, and I kind of leaned in and looked around a tree and saw a pretty good-sized woodpecker pecking at the tree, and I was like, hey, it's a woodpecker, and I turn around, and Jesse's standing in the middle of the trail with the biggest knife I've ever seen pulled out, ready to attack whatever was making the noise.
I wasn't going down that day. Oh, I'm not dying on this mountain. Woodpecker, I don't care how big you are. Yeah, so that was a little bit dumb. So after I recovered from the woodpecker incident, We kept going, and then at some point we hear this loud cracking, breaking, creaking noise, like up the trail. I mean, very, very loud. And you know, we're like, what was that? I don't know, man. It's hot out here. Keep walking. Don't stop. I'll pass out. So we kept going up the hill, and then...
Yeah, we get up to the top of this hill, which probably took us 20 minutes to a half an hour or so in our current state. And there's a tree, probably, what, maybe 4 or 5 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
It's twisted all around about, I don't know, six, 7 feet high, and right across the trail, blocking our way. And you can see the green sap and the juices of the tree kind of running down.
We smelled it right before we saw it, actually.
Clearly had just happened. Yeah. And there's, you know, there wasn't any kind of wind or anything, and we didn't know what happened. And we just kind of said, wow, that's weird, and walked around and just kept going along.
We're so angry with ourselves.
And we think back on it, like, you know, we might have really, you know, been onto something that day, because the tree was small enough that I don't think a black bear would have tried to climb it, and just the way that it was twisted was so weird that we now think back on it as maybe that might have been our first and maybe even closest encounter we've ever had to Bigfoot back then.
Do you think that's the direction the knot came from?
No, that was the woodpecker.
The knock was from the woodpecker behind us.
The very large woodpecker. Just to clarify that.
Yeah.
Yes, I know people are going to hear that and not be impressed, but it was a huge woodpecker.
It was.
I mean, that thing was like six feet.
I think you probably could have handled it with a smaller knife, though, really.
I could have got a spork.
Yeah. So, you know, after that, we kind of were kicking ourselves because we had trail cameras and video. We were carrying all kinds of gear, and we were just too inexperienced and wiped out to do so. I got back, started looking around Ohio, and lo and behold, there's a lot of reports in Ohio, actually more than up there. And then I stumbled upon this conference, this Bigfoot conference they have at Salt Fork, and it was like 2 weeks away. And the next thing you know, we're down at Salt Fork, and today we help the conference by doing the audio video stuff, and we're a big part of everything that goes on down there now. So it just kind of happened.
That seems to be how a lot of it does. It just kind of...
It found us, in a way.
You just fall into it.
It's like most Bigfoot sightings. It's people that aren't even into it, don't think about it, and then one day, all of a sudden, they're on a trail somewhere, and boom.
Yep.
Woodpecker.
Woodpecker.
All right. Do not tell anybody about the woodpecker, ever.
No, I know. It's such a great story, though.
Hey, we've seen some trees that woodpecker has gotten a hold of.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, yeah. They make some giant holes in there. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Bigfoot don't do that.
What other, like, in the future, what do you have in the future as for different hikes or conferences or things like that that you're either working with or that you're set up yourselves? I know, like, a week from when we're recording this, you've got the one in Salt Fork, like, tonight.
Yeah, we're doing a similar hike at Salt Fork next weekend. We are the main attraction at Sasquatch Days at the, what is it?
Seneca Lake?
Yeah, Seneca Lake Park in southeastern Ohio. It's not too far from Salt Fork. That's sometime in August. We have some of this on our website you can check out. I don't have all the dates.
Yeah, we will definitely link your Facebook page, Stars,
to this. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we've got that. We've got, of course, like you said, the Sulfur thing next weekend, Seneca Lake. We've got, I don't know. Well, there's a lot going on, and that's why we have a calendar with stuff posted.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And I'm sure we'll probably be back at Mohican here, and then probably Salt Fork again at least one or two more times this year. We try to do a hike once a month somewhere. We are doing a hike at Holden Arboretum in Kirtland in October. That'll be the first time we've really gotten anything going in our own
up
in Lake County.
That'll be, it's open to the public, but it's like a private organization, so there's a fee for that, though. But check it out. I'm not sure what the fee is, but we'll have an event posting and stuff for that.
Wonderful.
So. You started to talk about how you have a movie you guys made. You know, tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. Well, Alan and I, last year... Well, Alan, why don't you go ahead and start with the way background, 2013 part. Like how it kind of started, maybe.
Like, you're talking about our previous movie and all that?
The Back 80.
Oh, the Back 80. Yeah, no, I got you. In 2013, I and attended my first investigation with some of the people I'd met at the Bigfoot conference, and it led me to just outside Mohican here in the Loudonville area, and I met a woman that saw Bigfoot cross the road in front of her one day, and I got to go there with the researchers, and we measured and did all these kind of really cool Bigfoot research things, investigation type things, and got to talk to her a little bit, and, you know, kind of stayed in touch with her a little bit through some of the other Bigfoot events that we do. And we were kind of looking for, we'd done a movie, a couple of different little films before that. We were looking for some ideas, and it was suggested we maybe talk to her about doing a film. So I sent her an email. She knew who I was, and said, we're thinking about maybe doing a movie with some of your sighting stuff in there. What do you think about that? And I got a 10-page email back with all these things that have been happening, and I said, okay, we've got something here. And it was, I think, within 2 weeks we were on the scene, kind of, Jesse hadn't been there before, and checking out her property, and then we started filming the week after that in, what was that, 2016?
It was like early summer of last year. Everything's kind of melted together a little bit, but yeah. We started filming, went to her property, and did a lot of work there. We went to and interviewed some witnesses that kind of corroborated the story of something being in that area in that time frame. And of course, the title being the Back 80, some people ask, well, what is that? And, well, it references a landlocked by other property owners, this 80-acre plot that for the past several years, it might be longer than that, is essentially not visited at all except for hunters a couple times a year. And
it's gated and locked, yeah. And very, very remote. There's probably a good mile-long driveway to even get back into this area.
Yeah, it's... And then other than the hunters and the maintenance guy that kind of goes in there to, you know, just make sure the road's passable and there's a place for the hunters to park and things of that nature. And
yeah, and our witness, Suzanne, who saw the Bigfoot, she believes that that's probably the best place for them to be. So we decided to take her there. And that's kind of how the film came to be known as the Back 80, because it really culminates with her going
that
back
was
in there.
Literally, she had thought they were back there for the past several years, and in the film, that's actually her first time going in there.
So, do you find any evidence of possibility?
Yeah, there's some really interesting stuff going on back there. There's people that are in the film that have seen Bigfoot in there, so there's definitely a lot of things going on in that area. The film itself was something that Jesse and I decided we wanted to do something different. There's a lot of Bigfoot movies, you know, horror movies. There's a slew of documentaries out there. We really wanted to get into something different. So our film focuses on not so much, you know, what she saw, what it looked like, the creature and all that stuff, but how that impacted her, because she saw this thing across the road, and a week or two later, she started having things happen on her own property. So now her home and her property is no longer safe for her, and she felt threatened. And it was a real emotional journey for her. So we decided that this was a story that was different from all the other ones, and her passion for telling it was so good that we knew we could really capture the essence of, you know, not what is Bigfoot, but what is it like after you see one? Like, how does that impact your life? Because it does. And we've talked to people time and time again who are not the same anymore. You know, the woods is a whole different place after that happens. And this film, I think, really captures that essence of kind of internal struggle for, I just saw something that I'm not supposed to see, so now what?
This doesn't exist. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, Bigfoot, I'll just say, generally speaking, Bigfoot movies out there, and there's a ton of subcategories. There's kind of like horror films. There's documentary type. Comedy, for lack of a better term, films out there. But one of the things that Alan and I hadn't seen was something like he described, focusing on less about the Bigfoot, more about the witness that had this experience. I think there's things related to in other categories, like alien abductions, things of that nature, and there's stuff out there that focuses on that person and their experience, but yet there was really nothing, at least in this capacity, that in regards to someone having a Bigfoot sighting.
So yeah,
it was
a
great story to tell.
We kind of inadvertently took it a step beyond that as we got to know Suzanne, and the whole process of making this film was kind of therapeutic for her, and being actually able to go into the back 80, you know, there was even some points in time where she was by herself looking for Bigfoot. She kind of came to terms and faced her fear head on, and you can see that transformation in the movie, and towards the end you really get a sense of she's kind of okay with things now. And so we actually took her through the end of that journey of, you know, peace again, and we were able to capture that.
Is she still having issues around her house? Or is it finally just kind of quiet down?
It's been pretty quiet. I mean, every now and then she says she'll hear a wood knock that kind of excites her, but nothing's really escalated beyond that at this point. I think there's, you know, a reasonable possibility that these things are still roaming around Loudonville, Mohican.
Any other questions?
I don't really have any other questions.
Yeah. No, this has been amazing, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate
this. This has been fun. I know we both are interested in.
Yeah, congrats on your 1 year anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very cool. Glad you guys came out to the hike too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And survived. I mean, that's something right there.
I don't know. There's a truck over there that's just kind of hanging out. Yeah.
Well, it looks like it's parked near our car, so I'm a little worried. So let's just huddle here for a little while.
If we stay in a group.
Wait a minute, I'm the first one to go.
Okay.
I need them more.
Or maybe we should all go in different directions.
Yeah, we'll scatter quick.
Yeah.
But yes, you said we can find you guys on Facebook.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook in a multitude or in a variety of ways. Of course, Fathom Frontiers. It's .com, but also we're on Facebook with that. You know, if you're interested in checking out the Back 80, you can find that on grassmangear.com, and it's on sale for there.
And we actually have the back80.com where you can watch the trailers and links to all the other things that we have for it too.
Yep.
That's been wonderful. Thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you.
No, you're very welcome. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the hike.
Well, Bart, that was our first, what would you say, live interview, I suppose, our first?
Well, no, because last year we had several live interviews.
Right, but what would you consider this, our field trip, I suppose?
Our first field trip, yeah.
Our first official field trip, I guess. But yeah, we got to talk to Ellen and Jesse, who ran the Bigfoot hike. So what did you think, Bart?
The hike, just except for it being like 90 degrees and us being by the river, it was really fun.
I mean, it was late. It was really, really late. Because it was what?
Yeah.
About 10:30, almost 11 by the time we got back to the picnic tables?
Yeah, the second hike was supposed to leave at 9:30, and I don't think we left till almost 10.
True. But there was such a large group, because they ended up, because I know we were there when they were breaking up the 8:30 with the families, and they broke them up into two groups. And with us, they broke it up in two groups also. So there was so many people there for this hike. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. At the time of recording tonight, they've got another one in Salt Forks, and I'm kind of curious how big that one it will be. Also,
I'm thinking it's going to be bigger because
considering that's like their main location, I imagine it will be. There's more people probably know them there.
Right, right. But they also do. I think they actually do it a couple times a year, but they do like a Bigfoot festival down there.
That's right. Yes.
So it's I think it might be bigger, because I know with this one we did, it was at Mohican, and they the Mohican like camp area, whatever you want to call them, they actually advertised it. They advertised this hike.
Yeah, and from what I gathered, a lot of people knew nothing about it until people started showing up.
Oh, I know. There's people just fishing on the banks of the river or something, just hanging out, and they're like, "What's going on?" But yeah, there were so many people. There was no parking spots. People were kind of making their own. I was like very surprised. I know they said there was probably about 500 people total, would you say?
Yeah. Had that or more.
Yeah, it was close. It was really close. But it was fun. I mean, I didn't expect to see or hear anything with that vast amount of people.
Oh no. And especially because there were fireworks going on.
Yeah, there was that didn't sound like it was too far off either. But the fireworks going off. I know we saw some deer when we came in.
Oh yeah.
Into the park. But I mean, I wouldn't mind doing more like this. I want to go do our own investigations.
Yes.
I think that would be fun. But yeah, we hiked a little bit down a trail, and they talked a little bit about sightings that have been seen. What little flaps of areas where they've seen more. I know from some of the research I've looked up, Bigfoot has been seen in Guernsey, earlier this year, a month or two ago, but they won't release the pictures. And I'm like, if you don't have the pictures, then it doesn't exist. If you show it. But I mean, I can get it. Why? Cause there's, that whole like $1 million reward, which I keep telling you, Bart, we need to go do it. But we did what we hiked. They did some tree knocks and did some howls and screeches and stuff.
Yeah. And it wasn't even really that long of a hike.
Mm-mm. It was probably about a half a mile. Well, maybe a mile.
It was more. I looked at my phone when I got home and I did the math. Going in and then coming out, it was about a little under a mile and a half.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say.
Yeah, so probably maybe less than three quarters of a mile hike in.
Yeah, because we hiked
in. Which isn't
that
bad.
Right. We hiked in and hiked right back out, but we stood around for a while because we stopped and talked, and then we stopped and talked, and stopped and talked. So, yeah, because I mean, it was funny because it was like the people from the first group, because we were in the second group, they were doing cow calls in return. And somebody else had said something about chicken calls. and our friend Jesse, her and I, we were just cracking up the whole time.
Well, then whoever it was who had the owl call.
Oh, there was an owl call?
Yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was. I mean, I've done night hikes before. Well, one by accident. Well, it was a nature.
Are
hike.
You doing like me and just wind up getting lost and not getting back to your car till later?
No, it was a night hike. Well, not really a night hike. It was a nature hike, and we were with I don't think it was a ranger, but he was like one of the volunteers, and we were walking, and we were talking about the old old quarry where they used to quarry out the rocks and stuff they used for the canals for the locks. And we were learning the history, and we were just having a good old time. And I think it was just the amount of people, and, some people weren't walking as fast as everybody else, different aspects of that. Ended up getting really, really late. And that's when we actually heard a deer huff, like snort huff.
Yeah.
And we had Lucy with us at the time. Gives you an idea how many years ago it was. And I had asked, it was one of those, Ken's like, well, if you want to go. And I asked the guy, I said, well, have there already been any wolves up here? And he, like, did a flip and got kind of, like, nasty, like, defensive. There are no wolves. There are no wolves. There are no wolves. But it's like, I think there is. Now, listening to this, them try to say, coyotes run in packs, wolves don't. It's like, it's the other way around. Coyotes, it's always the male and the female that hunt. They're not packs. Well, I mean, I guess you could say they're two a pack. But the wolves are usually in much larger packs. But if the wolves, like in Yellowstone, if there's no wolves, the coyotes will pack together because the prey is so much bigger that they're taking on. But they're not normal pack animals. He got like real defensive, and then I made the comment to Ken. I'm like, so does that mean I shouldn't talk about Bigfoot? Ken's just like, probably not. I'm like, all right, fine. Although talking about the night hike, we do need to invest in some more headlamps and the red filter thingies that everybody had.
Well, I don't know. The headlamp that I had was not that great and did not get very far. Once Ken gave me the mag light, it was like, ooh, this is perfect. And even the people in front of me were like, yes, keep that on.
Well, the headlamp is, it may need new batteries, I don't know. But see, with the headlamp, normally, like, you had it pointed down. Normally, we had it pointed up. And that's the one that we actually used on set. You know, those are our filming lights that we use. The one I had, and it's probably just the LED, because they were all, the ones that we had were all the LEDs, and they don't go far. Because you had, what, the red one, didn't you?
I don't remember. No, I just had the blue one.
You had the blue one, then Jesse had the red one, and Ken had his really old one. And I had just a little hand light. But, I mean, they're not that expensive. We can always get more. I want to get, like, an infrared scope or better binoculars or something. Because I have two. I have three, I think. Or two. I have one that is ancient, that comes in a leather, like, holder thingy. Like, canister.
Yeah.
And I have another set, so... And eventually, I want to get better equipment. But I do. I want to do a night hike. I just don't know when. It'd probably have to be a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah, when or where?
Well, we can go. We can go not that far from here. I just have to check my maps and sources and stuff and see where the most likely they would be. Mm-hmm. I have a couple ideas. And see, that's another thing. I've been in the woods before and I've heard stuff. Like, I don't know if it's just because I'm maybe because senses for guys and girls are a little bit different. Girls tend to be more sensitive to sounds than guys. I've heard stuff before and love Ken to death. He just doesn't know how to shut up. It's like he's always got to have noise. He's always got to have, it's like, you know, we've gone and parked at a dead end road and he was bored out of his skull and Lucy couldn't handle herself. I'm like, sit back and relax and meditate. Relax. You hear so much if you just sit back and relax. But no, that just didn't work. But
yeah, I do bad with quiet too.
I like quiet. A quiet doesn't faze me.
I go out of my mind at home when there's no, when it's just me here, and I start making noise just to have something happening.
I wanted to go do that today, but of course, as we're recording, we've got a thunderstorm rolling in, but I wanted to go. I used to do that, you know, after work before, is just change my clothes and go to the park and just sit. A lot of times I would sit and just draw, but, you know, it was always good to just sit back and relax. But yeah, if you want to do some investigation in this area, you know, I'll look up some more information and we can go do them.
Yeah, maybe we can have just a couple episodes where we go with some investigations and we'll discuss them. Give some people ideas of where they can go look.
Mm-hmm. Especially since, you know, you're starting to hike more and more. We can start doing more and more hikes.
Yeah.
Because I've investigated this stuff like eons and eons and eons ago. I've never done a ton of field research, but I mean, I've got so much books and stuff on different things like that I've read. So it'll be interesting. We'll see. But yeah, the whole Bigfoot stuff, you never know. You never know. Although listening to some documentaries, it seems that, you know, is it me or is it just because we're moving more and more into their territory, or is there, like, more and more sightings? Or is it one of those where it's people misidentifying stuff and they think that's what that is?
I think it's that Bigfoot has become so much part of just American pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just pop culture in general, really, because all over the world, that people, like, want to see it. Mm-hmm. And because they want to see it so bad, it just happens to be there.
Yeah, that the whole, like, what they call the blob squatch.
Yeah.
Where they want it to be there, but it's not. And what was it, the whole, like, I see faces, but there are no faces?
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's, I know, we had some fun. I kind of wish that we were able to learn more on the actual research you know, the field research.
Yeah.
But there was just so many people there, and this would have had to have been like an all day thing.
Very much. And, yeah, like you said, there were too many people there. Even if that had just been a one hike deal,
mm-hmm.
it would have been impossible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, I can't believe they actually did one with kids. Do you see the amount of kids in that first group? Yeah. Would you say what the average was probably, what, about a 10-year-old boy?
Oh, yeah. There were enough kids. And I kind of, like I said, we said, you know, people didn't know. I'm kind of wondering if some people who didn't know saw it happening and decided, hey, we're going to go.
I think there was a couple groups of people that were down a little bit. When we first got out of the car and the guy asked us what was going on, I think that's probably what a good portion of them did. I mean, there was a lot. I mean, this was like no man's land, basically, because this park is so big, too.
Oh, yeah.
But, because I know in like 3 weeks, about 3 weeks from when we're recording, we're actually going camping there in that area. So that's going to be kind of fun, too.
Yeah, maybe while you're there, you might find something more than just like what we had.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen weird things in the forest before, but it's like, what is that? I've seen the tree was probably about 4 inches in diameter, and it was probably about 5 feet tall, and it was snapped over, twisted.
Ooh.
It was really strange. I had a picture, but it was slightly blurry, and I don't really know why, but I had a couple of pictures of it. I mean, but we're going back like 5 years or so or more.
Yeah.
But. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know a couple ideas and a couple places of some river bottoms that we should hit up. Just have to see what we can do.
Exactly.
It's usually the whole, can we go there or can we not go there?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think this was a nice taste. I know our friends enjoyed themselves. Ken did, Jesse. I'm assuming Ashley had a good time, too.
Oh, yeah, she loved it.
So, maybe we'll have our own little investigating crew. But, yeah, maybe we'll be able to do this again come fall. I think that would be a great...
And I think fall would probably be a better time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it wouldn't be so... Hopefully, wouldn't be so excruciatingly hot.
Well... When we were at Con the Cob, I wanted to do that one night, real late at night. Maybe we could get together and go do that. You know, even if we just find a side road and just park.
Yeah.
That would be an idea for us.
I don't know what the... No, actually, Christian, I do know what some of the trails around Richfield are.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to them, but I do know there are some around there.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch. Because you have Caga Valley, you have Virginia Kendall, and there is a land preserve right there, too. And they're all connected. I mean, there's, like, what, 33,000... Like, Caga Valley is, I think, 33,000 acres plus the other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, that, and if you go with the guy from the BRFO, he was here... I think it was August of 2015, and he was actually at one of my favorite overlooks, and he recorded a Bigfoot call. It sounded a bit off, like distance, but he did catch it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that's something else that we can, if we want to start looking into it, actual into it, Well, no, that one that they were talking about on the interview about how, like, the guys were walking and they were chased out. I know that story. And I have an idea who it actually was. They won't say his name, but it's actually in the BRFO website. But they were hiking on late at night during the summer. So Boston Mills was closed.
Yeah.
And they were hiking on the railroad tracks, and there was a lot of stuff right there. And it came out of the water at them, out of the swamp. It came and charged them. But that's the funny part, because that area right there, I swore I had heard something in the back, like in the distance. But like I said, I'm like, just stop. Yeah. It just, it makes it so hard. It's like, be quiet for 5 seconds, because in that 5 seconds, you know, you can miss something.
Yeah.
You know, you can miss something in 5 seconds. But we'll see. I'll have to see how Cassie survives quiet and all this fun stuff.
Yeah, she may not be able to take it also.
She might just curl up. I mean, as we're recording, Ken sent me a picture. She's watching dog videos or dog music or something or other he put on for her. So she's going to actually give me a chance to record. But, so do you want... Did you have anything else to add to this, or?
No, I'm good. All I gotta say is, if you ever have the chance to go on one of these guys' hikes, they're from, like they said in the interview, they're from somewhere that, of course, my phone has decided to close on me.
Well, they were from
Chasm Frontier.
Yes. But yeah, if you guys have hike stuff like this in your area and you're interested, I say go for it. If anything, you just meet people and. Hey, get out in the woods. I think it's good for anybody. You know? But I did have a story about ghost species, and I think I may just save that for a later date. But I don't know. I mean, there's so much out there that, you know, we've kind of forgotten. I mean, I know we've touched on this in the past, that we've just forgot, basically. I think we're going to start, you know, figuring out again. So what do you think Bigfoot is? What's your idea on it?
Honestly, I think it's just a species that just broke off a long time ago and has never bred with anything else, so it's just off on its own.
Mm-hmm. Like what we were saying last with the last episode, the modern humans and the cavemen breeding. Yeah. It's possible. I know there's ideas that it's, you know, a Nephilim or whatever else. I mean, it sounds pretty much like the giants, as they're referred to, have been here for a long time. So it's very a possibility that you know, it is a type of hominid. Which would make sense why it's difficult to, find any evidence or anything else. Probably smarter than we are. What do you think, Bart?
Absolutely. Hasn't been found yet.
Mm-mm. At least not enough evidence for science to believe.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much why I like these topics. Because they're so left field, nobody knows the truth. But do you think it's going to actually have to take a body to bring it in for people to believe?
For some people, yes. For others, we're going to believe whether we have a body or not.
Well, science is going to have a body. That's how it was with all the other species. Science is going to have a body.
Yes.
But I don't know. We'll have to see what the future holds for the cryptid group. We'll see. I'm sure one day it'll be found. But
oh, absolutely. It'll be found when either it'll be found or our technology will have grown so much that somebody will create a mock of Bigfoot and that will be found.
Well, there's been hoaxes. There's been so many hoaxes. Which I'm like, why? Why? I mean, I kind of get it. You know, yeah, you do a couple hoaxes, make people not believe, you know, I guess that's where it kind of comes into, like, the 411, the whole, like, the missing people and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're the perfect, like, slow food, I suppose. I'm sure we taste good and we're all squishy. Easy pickings. That's why you don't hike by yourselves.
Well, it's one of the many reasons you don't hike by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason is you can easily get lost and wind up from one trail to another trail in a completely different city.
I keep telling you, don't do it. If you need, we can come hike with you. Especially since we don't, like, really live that far from each other.
The two times I've done that, and both times, I wound up the same trail, starting at different places.
That's, you know what, that is just kind of odd on its own.
I wound up at the same trail, two different entrances to the same trail, but still the same trail.
Well,
and these were like 5 or 6 years apart.
Well, something's trying to pull you there, so don't go there. Don't do it. I have to go there or find out what's up. I know what trail you're talking about. It's one of the ones we used to hike with Lucy all the time.
Yeah, apparently the Expo Trail.
Mm-hmm. I know. We used to hike...
Weird.
We used to hike, I don't know how many trails, because we used to get the staff badge thingy for our sticks.
Yeah.
So... We haven't done it in a couple years, just not had time, but we used to.
That's same with me. I haven't either.
See, that's with Cassie. She doesn't want to walk. She wants to run. I'm not much of a runner. My knees don't like it. But, alrighty. So that was our interview with Jesse and Alan, and I think it was fun. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, we're going to have to do this more often, I think.
Yes. But. If you guys know of any hikes in our area in Northeast Ohio, let us know.
Mm-hmm. Or even just the Eastern. You know, we'll go south. South's not that bad. You know, if you guys have any stories, let us know. You know, where you guys can find us. Twitter, Facebook, we're with tangentboundnetwork.com. WeebieGeeksPC.com. You know, but rate us, review us on what iTunes, and you know, let us know what you think. We're into our second year. You know, let us know. Are we going on a right direction, or is there another topic that we haven't discussed yet that you would like to?
Yeah, we've got what is this like? I think our 22nd episode.
23rd
maybe. So there's 23 episodes of stuff we've talked about so far.
Yep.
You know, there's plenty more out there. Mm-hmm. And we know because there's plenty of podcasts that talk about stuff that we haven't. So what do you want to hear about?
Exactly. You know, you want to come on and tell her, you know, we'll Skype you in. You know. So what do you say, Bart?
I think this has been another successful trip and episode.
Yes, I think it was fun. I'm proud of us. I think we did really well. So what was it? Keep your ear to the ground, your eyes to the sky, and stay safe. And I will see you later, Bart.
I'll see you later, Vicky.
Bye, guys.
Bye.